to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it goes. Talk radio.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the program, the National Intel Report. It's second hour on this Monday, the 19th of February. We're talking today with Paul Fromm from Canada, and that is the Canadian Association for Free Expression, talking about Ernst Zundel, got 5 years in prison for Holocaust denial. And as written in the panarmenian.net, they say that the far-right activist Ernst Zundel was convicted of 14 counts of incitement Thursday for Holocaust denial and sentenced to a maximum of 5 years in prison. Zundel, 67, who was deported from Canada in 2005, was accused of years of anti-Semitic activities, including denying the Holocaust, a crime in Germany. Zundel and his supporters have argued that a peaceful campaigner who has been denied his right of free speech. He was born in Germany in 1939. He immigrated to Canada in 1958 and lived in Toronto and Montreal until 2001. Canadian officials rejected his attempts to attain citizenship in 1966 and 1994. Upon arrival in Toronto, Zundel was arrested and held in detention until a judge ruled in March of 2005 that his activities posed a threat to national and international security, and he was deported to Germany.
You know, I know a lot about that. I was intimately involved in that case, too. I've been involved in a lot of the Zundel cases, and I was basically his main public relations person this last time when he was a political prisoner. I think, you know, we've got to be careful of using their language. They would say he was, although actually the law didn't call it Holocaust denial. I think it was called defaming the memory of the dead. But essentially in a number of countries in Europe, Germany, Austria, Italy, I think Slovakia, France, certainly, challenging the Hollywood version of World War II is considered a crime. And when you tell me I can't talk about a historical event, I have to believe. We know we're into some weird territory. You know, it's quite possible to talk about up in the North they call it the Civil War, and you folks call it the War Between the States. It's quite possible to debate the tactics of Robert E. Lee. Did he lose the Battle of Gettysburg because of this or that? And all sorts of people have a million opinions. Nobody's going to lose their job or go to jail because they say, you know, Lincoln really wasn't a great president. He was a bum. Almost anything is open to talk about in history, except whatever happened in the detention camps in the Second World War. When that's presented to me, I say I'm now dealing with a religion. If you tell me I can't question it, I must believe, or I'm going to, you know, I'm subject to dungeon fire and sword, or in this case, 5 years in jail, or the loss of my job. And that's happened to people up here, people like Jim Keekstra, a school teacher, another school teacher, Malcolm Ross, lost their jobs because they made some critical comments about the Hollywood version of World War II. We're dealing with a religion, and what I'm telling people to say, call it the new religion of Holocaust. These countries have state religions. And that's something I know America really, that was something that as you were developing, you wanted to move against, that there wouldn't be a state religion. People would be free to march to whatever religious drum moved them. And this is incredibly dangerous because when you force people to either shut up or say they believe in something they don't believe in, you begin to have a really stupid society. You started off this program talking about societies in decline, and that's what I see. Because once you make people stupid in other areas, I better keep your mouth shut. Maybe it's just better if I didn't think at all. That bleeds over into other areas. You can't have a vibrant technological society where people are afraid to open their mouths.
Not when they can't open up their mouths and they can't engage their brain to think. We got to take this break. 800-313-9443. We get back on the other side. We'll start to roll your calls on this Monday edition of the National Intel Report.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Ingrid Zundel of the Ernst Zundel Verdict. Yesterday at 7 a.m., I received word from Ernst's son, Pierre, that a verdict had been pronounced that Ernst Zundel had been sentenced to the maximum penalty for Holocaust denial for 5 years. That's what you get in Zionist-infested Germany these days for speaking the truth as you know it and have researched and documented it. The likewise Zionist-controlled media worldwide has been poisonous, but as a friend from Spain, having monitored the news, reported to me, and here I paraphrase, she says from memory, things are being said between the lines that were never permitted to be uttered before. As an example, from Taz, the Tagesanzeitung, try saying that three times fast, in an article by Klaus-Peter Klingenschmidt, he said, in the end, the judges reject all attempts by the defense attorneys to enter facts into evidence with the set-in-stone argument that if it is of no significance whether or not the Holocaust happened, denying it, is forbidden in Germany. Now, just as Ernst said in a recent letter to me, even if I walked on water, it wouldn't have made any difference. So there you have it. I've been told that Ernst, in his summary statement, asked for an international investigative team to settle the truth about Auschwitz once and for all. Judge Nine, of course, rejected it, as he has rejected all attempts to offer expert witnesses as well as documented scientific proof of what revisionists have calmly argued for decades. I am waiting for a written report about this last hearing, but I have been told by an observer that he overheard one of the attorneys comment that never in his decades of practice has he experienced such uncontrolled virulence, not only against the defendant, but against the attorneys and even the audience. I have also been informed that defense attorney Reiger himself will be charged with Holocaust denial. I used to say to friends that one of the ways I could tell that sanity and reason was winning over hysterics is that personal assaults against me, telephone calls, emails, snail mail, had abated. In 1996, when the Zundel site first rose to prominence, vilification and demonization were daily occurrences, but in the latter years, months would go by without a single hate message, calling me all sorts of filthy names and worse. Yesterday, hate messages came out of the woodwork like bedbugs. Where do you go from here? Of course, appealing this verdict will be one way to protest. We will also hold a demonstration at the German Embassy in Washington on May 7th, so please mark that on your calendar. We know for a fact that the German Embassy vassals were up to their necks in conspiracy to abduct and rendition Ernst, first to Canada and then to Germany. We have all the evidence and the paper trail. The latest I heard is that the surreptitious plane that took Ernst to Germany in March of 2005, explicitly bypassing customs and the media, cost the Canadian taxpayers a hefty $130,000, not the $50,000 as we've once been told. Once again, or she said, once we have absorbed the shock, we will have to regroup and rethink. She says, no surrender, signed Ingrid Rimland Zundel. Pretty sad state of affairs.
It really is. She's a very brave lady, and I can tell you, I've been telling people, and if you go on stormfront.org, on the Canadian thread, general discussion, you can see the memo I put out, but we've been urging people right around the world to contact the German Chancellor, Angela Merkel, and or their local German embassy or consulate. Let them know in no uncertain terms our demand is get with the civilized world and free Ernst Zundel. She can use executive clemency and free him. Civilized countries don't put writers and thinkers in jail. That's banana republic time. And I think we've got to let the German government know they haven't won any brownie points with free men and women. They may be doing what the Zionists are telling them to do, and the neocons and the freedom haters. But free men and women don't approve of putting people in jail. And I think it's really, really important for Americans and Canadians to speak up. I've only put this call out about 36 hours ago, and I already have had a large number of emails where people send me, well, this is the letter I sent to the German Chancellor, or this is what I just sent to the German Embassy. It's really important for people to call. You know, sometimes people find it a little easier to make a phone call than to write a letter, and apparently the phone is ringing off the hook of the German Embassy in Washington, and I can give you the number if you want.
Please do.
The guy on the political desk is a man named Kruger, and the phone number there is 202-298-4233. That's his direct line. And the press secretary is a man named Schultz, and his phone number is 298-4246. And I think it's really well worth it. You know, people who are a little bit vocal, like I'm sure a lot of your audience, hey, pick up that blower tomorrow, spend a few bucks on a long-distance call to Washington, and give them a piece of your mind. Now, I think it's always important to do the cause much more good if you keep the language decent and so on. But let them know that the free speech is not negotiable, and any country that suppresses it, it's amazing that the judge did go on the record. It didn't matter what the truth was. It didn't matter whether it happened or not. It's against the law to deny it, to question what happened in the detention camps. And you know, that's a religion. And you know, I think Germany and other countries that have done this should be rightfully mocked. You know, you people in your country, you can mock Jesus Christ. You can say you're an atheist. You can hold any religious or non-religious view you believe. But you know, you really have a state religion. If you question one aspect of the tale of the detention camps, so-called Holocaust, you know, you go to jail. That's pathetic. A lot, you know, I think we've got to speak up about that. And you know, a lot of people, I think, find themselves stymied. You know, well, there's nothing I can do. You know, it's all so big, it's so overwhelming. But, you know, there's we can all do something. And, you know, I really urge people, you can pick up that phone tomorrow morning after, you know, after 9 o'clock Eastern time and make a phone call. You know, that costs you only a few bucks, maybe even just a few cents.
Let me repeat those numbers again. And this is for the German embassy in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, so Mr. Kruger is the head of the political desk, and that's 202-298-4233. And then Mr. Schultz is the press attaché, and he's 202-298-4246.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Thanks for holding. Jim in Texas. Hello, Jim.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Hello, Paul.
Hi.
The thing I wanted to talk about is the fact that it's actually much worse in Canada than you've described, because they not only went after Zundel and Keegstra, they went after Doug Collins, who was a newspaper man.
Oh, yes. Doug Collins was a World
War... And he was a prisoner of war in Germany during the Second World War.
Yeah, he was actually 11 escapes from German POW camps, came back with a chest full of medals, and still, in his latter years, when he started criticizing, he made fun of Schindler's List. He called it Swindler's List.
That was his crime.
That was his crime. When he criticized multiculturalism, criticized the Third World Invasion, and they brought him up on hate charges, even though he was a decorated war veteran. Canada is a repressive state, and you know, I think that's something people have to understand. When I say it's Cuba North, I'm not trying to be funny or sensationalistic. The only difference is that we don't have a one-man dictatorship, and our political police don't wear sort of gray-green uniforms and walk around with ancient guns, but It's the same thing. Literature is confiscated at the border. We have I had my laptop stolen by our customs. They wanted to take a look at it and see if there's any hate on it. I said no way. So because I won't give them the password, they've got my laptop. And you know, I think any American traveling to Canada has to be really aware of that.
Isn't there any laws in Canada prohibiting you offering any evidence against yourself?
You mean self-incrimination?
Yes.
Well, that was my argument. I said, actually, I did let one goon at the border look at it. He looked at it for 20 minutes, couldn't make anything of it, and then he shut it up and gave it back to me. But before the session ended, they wanted it back. I said, listen, you've already seen it. You said it was okay. You can't change your mind. And I simply won't give them the encryption code. So it's a standoff. My lawyer, my attorney, is still working on it, and so on. But you know, we have a politically correct police state up here.
It's far beyond that, Mr. Fromm. I don't know if everybody in this listening audience understands this virulent attitude that people cannot hold differing opinions against the state-sanctioned lies, that there are penalties, that they can put you in jail because of your beliefs.
Oh, yes. A young man who had some postings on the Internet had an injunction imposed on him even before his trial. He was to post no more hate. Well, he thought he was living within that. He posted some more. He's an outspoken sort of guy. They then go after him for contempt of court. He disobeyed an injunction. They flung him in jail for 9 months. He appealed and managed to get out after three. He overcame. He got the sentence reversed. But he's out. He loses his job. He's out of work for three. I mean, he's in jail for 3 months. People actually go to jail for the nonviolent expression of their views, and that's the definition by Amnesty International of a prisoner of conscience or a political prisoner.
And I believe his crime was writing letters to the editor.
No, that's another guy. Newspaper. That's Brad Love. Brad Love is a inveterate letter writer. He wrote over a 10-year period about 10,000 letters to the editor and to elected officials, and he was charged with hate. Now, none of these letters were violent. None of them threatened mayhem or anything like that. They were just strong political views, mostly about black crime. And he was flung in jail for 18 months.
All right, hold that thought. Jim, if you have any follow-up or any other questions, please hold on through the break. We'll continue with your calls at 800-313-9443. We're in a fight for self-expression, folks.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Here in this country, ladies and gentlemen, we have a Constitution. The First Amendment guarantees us a lot. Guarantees us that we have freedom of religion, not from religion. We have freedom of speech. We have the right to assemble. Redress of government. How many things did I just mention that we're not able to do? What redress to government? When we find things wrong, who do we go to? The very criminals that enacted it? This is a real danger that we're looking at with the half dozen times been defeated in Congress. But that's when we had a Republican-controlled Congress. But look now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a Democrat-controlled Congress, friends with Israel. Condoleezza Rice, by the way, she was over there in Israel. And, to try to strike up a deal to, that's right, have the Israeli and the Palestinian question answered. The peace process has been going on for a long, long time. And let us not forget that the state of Israel was plopped right in the middle of the Palestinian land to begin with, and they've been occupying over there for how many years? This is the unholy alliance the United States has with Israel, and this is really what's threatening peace and possibly the start of a religious war, World War III. Rather than Israel, with its 6 million people, ironic number, isn't it, that they live in peace with their neighbors? No, they set to conquer, wall, shoot, murder, you name it. And, of course, what are we doing in the Middle East right now? We're doing the roadmap for peace for Israel. And that's to basically do away with any country, any structured country in the Middle East right now. We must have regime change, as we witnessed in Afghanistan, as we witnessed in Iraq, as we will probably witness in Iran, Syria, and who knows who to follow. This is a very dangerous precedent. We have a government that does not understand foreign policy or detente. This is detente or policy at the point of a gun, and don't dare go against it, lest you may be in our crosshairs. That's what we're looking at. Jim in Texas, any other comment for our guest, Paul Fromm?
Yeah, this is for you, too, because about a week or so ago, I was talking to your morning host, Mark Dankoff.
Yes.
And he recited to me a letter he had written to the Toronto Globe and Mail.
Yeah,
where
that's
he
right.
He was criticizing the Zionist control in Canada, and I informed him that if I was him, I wouldn't go to Canada anymore because there could very well be a warrant waiting for him if he ever crosses the border.
Well, and you know what? I appreciate and understand his position on this, and I fully support it. And I'll tell you what, if they ever lock up this man in jail, I will go to his rescue. They might as well lock me up as well. I mean, this is insane. It's gone on long enough. And people, Paul Fromm, I'm sure that you'll agree with me, you don't come across as a really strong person, probably not as strong as I've been on the airwaves on my own program on this network, but this must stop. They are, this is a combination of Fahrenheit 451, where in England said in the future that you have to read books and then get rid of them because the government is burning them. Or it might be 1984, Ingsoc, and wait for your choco rations. You know, we have been at war with Eurasia. We have always been at war with Eurasia. What these people are doing constantly is setting up crisis, and then they're managing the crisis to an end that we do not desire.
Well, you're quite right about that. It really is complete government tyranny. And, you know, the Canadian government does burn books. We have these customs censors. If they seize a book, they then make a determination. If they say it's hate, what they call hate propaganda, you've got 30 days to appeal. But if you don't appeal or if you lose the appeal, they've admitted to us, they burn it. And we had an item about 2 years ago when Dr. David Duke brought out his latest book, Jewish Supremacism, that the Canadian Customs had seized a couple of these, and when we asked, well, what happened to them? Well, they got burned. I mean, they're always talking about Nazi Germany and book burning and things like that, but the Canadian government burns books that they don't like.
Jim, thank you for your call. Let's move on to Fred in Pennsylvania. Hello, Fred.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
I just want to say that I think how we got to this point has been by lobbying of the Democrats by the religion of liberalism and by the Republicans of the religion of Zionist Protestantism. It's sort of one market is lobbied one way and the other market is lobbied another way to pass laws, bad executive orders. Do you know what I'm saying, Paul?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. You know, and you know, we have to be constantly vigilant. You know, there isn't such thing as losing a little bit of freedom. It's always incremental. We lose this, and a little while later, we'll lose a little bit more. We very seldom get to reverse it, do we?
No, it's a one-way process unless you have a people power kind of thing that will reverse it. And I have, John, I got three suggestions on how to turn it back.
Hold on a second. We've got to take this break. 800-313-9443. We shall open up the phone lines for you people out there. You'd better start exercising your right to speak and demonstrate that you can do it, because one day your government is going to tell you you can't. Then it's going to be too late.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com, or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour.
$15 for 2 hours.
And $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting. 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today, because you can handle the truth.
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
The First Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, the year was 1670, and the case Bushnell sat on was that of William Penn, who was on trial for violation of the Conventicle Act. This was an elaborate act which made the Church of England the only legal church. The act was struck down by their not guilty vote. Freedom of religion was established and became part of the English Bill of Rights, and later it became the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. In addition, the right to peacefully assemble was founded, freedom of speech, and also habeas corpus. The first such writ of habeas corpus ever issued by the Court of Common Pleas was used to free Edward Bushnell. Later, this trial gave birth to the concept of freedom of the press. Now, had Bushnell and his colleagues yielded to the guilty verdict sought by the judge and prosecutor, William Penn most likely would have been executed, as he clearly broke the law. Ladies and gentlemen, it seems that that's exactly where we're at in this country right now with the pending hate crime legislation we've talked a lot about on this network. Some people are tired of hearing it. Well, be tired of hearing it. If you don't exercise your right of free speech the day that you want to use it for your purposes or your agenda, it won't be there.
One of our great free speech lawyers up here in Canada says you only know if that you have a freedom if you use it. A lot of Canadians fancy they have freedom of speech. Well, they do. If all they want to say is yay Blue Jays or down with the New York Yankees, hey, nobody's going to cause them any trouble. But, you know, if you happen to question, let's say, the story of the 6 million or the advisability of having your country, having the European founding settler people of this country replaced ethnically cleansed by third world invasion, hey, that could cause you trouble.
Fred, anything else?
Sure. Paul, is it true that the Canadian Bill of Rights only dates from 1960, and it's not an entrenched Bill of Rights? It can be wiped out by Act of Parliament?
Well, we have a Charter of Rights and Freedoms that's a little bit like the old Soviet Constitution. If you read it quickly, it sounds great. You have freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of belief, freedom of conscience, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly. You know, you say, great, just like the United States. The only problem is there's a weasel clause. You see, you have all these rights subject only to such restrictions as are reasonable restrictions as are demonstrably necessary in a free and democratic society. So you try to muddle through that. Well, you have these rights, but they can be restricted if it's reasonable in a free and democratic society. Well, none of those restrictions wouldn't be reasonable in a free society, but democratic would mean, well, if Parliament passes such a restriction, it can be okay. And so the judges and lawyers have feasted on this contradiction for 20 years, and usually what's happening up here is the group rights win out over personal rights. So the supposed right of a group not to be criticized, so that a minority doesn't have its feelings hurt, trumps your right to offer your opinion, and that's the free speech battle mm-hmm. that we're in.
And if I may just ask one more question, do you have does a juror have a power to acquit a defendant because of the defendant being charged by an absurd or unconstitutional law?
Good question.
Yes, they do. But juries are often not very independent-minded. They're very easily confused, and it doesn't happen very often.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it, Fred. Let's go to Troy in New York. Hello, Troy.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
I was thinking, I think that censorship is about the liar trying to protect his lies from the truth.
That's right.
You know, if we look at the scientific method, if we look at true truth seekers, they're all about freedom of speech because that's the best way and the quickest way to find the truth. Whereas, liars need protection from their lies, and so therefore they have to outlaw anyone who comes to tell the truth. Now, it's sort of like freedom of association. You can't surrender freedom of speech any more than you can surrender freedom of association. If you surrender freedom of speech, you become the victim of holy lies and holy liars who make their lies sacrosanct and therefore make persecute anyone who speaks against them. And the same with freedom of association. If you can't allow any government or anyone to take that away from you, because when you do, you become raped, you become prey, you know? It's like a woman. If her no is not taken for an answer, well, then she becomes a victim of that man who will not take no for an answer.
Yes.
And so we need the freedom of speech in order to find the truth. We cannot surrender it, or we're going to become the victim of sacred lies and sacred liars. Now, specifically as to this, as to these war stories, I even if you don't know anything else about World War II, just the fact that on campus and in Canada and other places, any place where freedom of speech is a crime, you know that the legislators are liars, because that's the only reason why they would make it a crime, because they're afraid of the truth. As to these World War II stories, I have investigated them and written something called The Satanic Jewish Holocaust, which is available free, a PDF download at thehouseoftroy.com. The House of Troy. Four words. So anyone who wants to can check it out. And this is a very big issue, freedom of speech, and also this Holocaust business, because, you know, it's a means of pretending to be a victim. You know, it's a means of pretending to be a victim, just like the devil always pretends to be a savior, as they did in Soviet Union. So also the devil on its own always pretend to be a victim. The very people who crucified the Lord and the people of the Lord pretend to be the victim of the Lord and the people of the Lord. So,
and isn't it ironic, Troy, that the very same people that are behind these hate crimes and these judges and the seemingly gray little shadowy creature that's having people persecuted for their free speech, isn't it ironic what we're looking at? I mean, this goes against any concept or precept of what the United States is about. I mean, this is absolutely incredible.
And it even started from World War I, if you study the history of it, which I also talk about in the Satanic Jewish Holocaust. What this is about, these are haters trying to seduce everyone else to join them in their hatred. This Holocaust propaganda is all about hating Germans.
Yes.
It's all about hatred. That's all it ever was. And again, it started in World War I with the corpse factories and all this other stuff. And so what it really is the haters are pretending to be the victim of hatred, you know? Just like the liars are pretending to be the victim of lies. If you just look through the mask to the reality beneath, you'll find out what's going on here. This is all about hatred, about Jewish hatred of Germans, see? And unless we can look at the truth and speak about, unless we can seek the truth and speak the truth, we are going to be the victims of these liars and slanderers. And I thank you for letting me speak. Again, thehouseoftroy.com.
All right. Thank you, Troy. I appreciate it. Wayne in Calgary, Canada. Hello, Wayne.
Hi, John, and hi, Paul.
Hi.
Just wanted to highlight a point here with reference to what Paul was talking about in terms of free speech here. We had a city policeman in Canada, well, more particularly here in Calgary, who had been on the police force for 24 years, and he was presiding at a hearing of an individual whom the justice of the peace had basically let go. And when the policeman had expressed his opinion that this was a mockery and a joke with reference to justice, he was actually being disciplined by the Calgary Police Force just prior to his retirement. Now, this particular criminal had 65 prior charges against him, including forcible confinement, kidnapping, all kinds of charges that the individual should, in fact, have been put into prison for. And yet here's the police person speaking out after 24 years, I think it was 11 and a half months, 2 weeks to retire, is now being disciplined because he spoke out just in reference to what he found to be and had observed over the years to be mockery of justice and a joke. That's all I have to comment on.
Thank you, Wayne. I appreciate your call.
You're welcome.
Paul, do you have a website, sir?
Yes, it's www.canadianfreespeech.net.
And we will bring you back on air as the situation warrants. And again, we're going to ask that people give the German consulate in Washington, D.C. a call. The political guy up there, Mr. Kruger, at 202-298-4233, or the press liaison, Mr. Schultz, at 202-298-2426. If you do not think that spending a few dollars and a few minutes of your time is going to be worth it, ladies and gentlemen, then sit there in silence and don't complain when we're all gagged in this country.
Well, thank you so much. I think that will really help if we can all help out Ernst and demand his freedom.
All righty. Thank you, Mr. Fromm.
Thank you.
All righty. Dark days ahead, ladies and gentlemen, unless we exercise something. It's our free will. You know, that's something that God gave us, and he expected us to exercise. Unfortunately, we have too many lemmings out there that don't want to go against the grain. Well, speaking of Holocaust, ladies and gentlemen, and acts of terrorism, once again we pause to remember 59 years ago on the evening of February 13th of 1945, an orgy of genocide and barbarianism began against a defenseless German city. I'll find my tongue here in a second. One of the greatest cultural centers of Northern Europe, within less than 14 hours, not only was it reduced to flaming ruins, but an estimated one-third of its inhabitants, possibly as many as 500,000, had perished in what was the worst massacre of all time. As Americans continue to bemoan the loss of fewer than 3,000 at Larry Silverstein's World Trade Center and the Pentagon, as they themselves prepare to slaughter many times that number in an act of unprovoked aggression in Iraq, few know, less care, about the campaign of cold-blooded terrorism conducted against German civilians during World War II, culminating in the extermination of well over 300,000. The following account, taken from February of 1985 issue of the NS Bulletin, tells us what a real Holocaust is like. Toward the end of World War II, as Allied planes rained death and destruction over Germany, the old Saxon city of Dresden lay like an island of tranquility amid desolation. Famous as a cultural center and possessing no military value, Dresden itself had been spared the terror that descended from the skies over the rest of the country. In fact, little had been done to provide the ancient city of artists and craftsmen with anti-aircraft defenses. One squadron of planes had been stationed in Dresden for a while, but the Luftwaffe decided to move the aircraft to another area where they would be of use. A gentleman's agreement seemed to prevail, designating Dresden an open city. On Shrove Tuesday, February 13th of 1945, a flood of refugees fleeing the Red Army 60 miles away had swollen the city's population to well over 1 million. Each new refugee brought fearful accounts of Soviet-style atrocities. Little did those refugees retreating from the Red Terror imagine that they were about to die in horror worse than anything Stalin could devise. Normally, a carnival atmosphere prevailed in Dresden on Shrove Tuesday. In 1945, however, the outlook itself was rather dismal. Houses everywhere overflowed with refugees, and thousands were forced to camp out in the streets, shivering in the bitter cold. However, the people felt relatively safe, and although the mood was grim, the circus played to a full house that night as thousands came to forget for a moment the horrors of war. Bands of little girls paraded about in carnival dress in an effort to bolster waning spirits. Half-sad smiles greeted the laughing girlies, but spirits were lifted. No one realized that in less than 24 hours, those same innocent children would die screaming in Churchill's firestorms. But, of course, no one could know that then. The Russians, to be sure, were savages, but at least the Americans and British were honorable. So when those first alarms signaled the start of 14 hours of hell, Dresden's people steamed dutifully to their shelters, but they did so without much enthusiasm, believing the alarms to be false, since their city had never been threatened from the air. Many would never come out alive, for the great democratic statesman Winston Churchill, in collusion with that other great democratic statesman, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, had decided that the city of Dresden was to be obliterated by saturation bombing. What were Churchill's motives? They appear to have been political rather than military. Historians unanimously agree that Dresden had no military value. What industry it did have produced only cigarettes and China. But the Yalta Conference was coming up, in which the Soviets and their Western allies could sit down like ghouls to carve up a shattered corpse of Europe. Churchill wanted a trump card, a devastating thunderclap of Anglo-American annihilation with which to impress Stalin. That card, however, was never played at Yalta because bad weather delayed the originally scheduled raid. Yet Churchill insisted that the raid be carried out to disrupt and confuse the German civilian population behind the lines. Dresden citizens barely had time to reach their shelters. The first bomb fell at 10:09 p.m., The attack lasted 24 minutes, leaving the inner city a raging sea of fire. Precision saturation bombing had created the desired firestorm. A firestorm is caused when hundreds of smaller fires join in one vast conflagration. Huge masses of air are sucked in to feed the inferno, causing an artificial tornado. These persons, unlucky enough to be caught in the rush of wind, are hurled down entire streets into the flames. Those who seek refuge underground often suffocate as oxygen is pulled from the air to feed the blaze, or they perish in a blast of white heat, heat intense enough to melt human flesh. Women and children were targeted. One eyewitness who survived told of seeing young women carrying babies running up and down the streets, their dresses and hair on fire, screaming until they fell down, or collapsing buildings fell on top of them. There was a 3-hour pause between the first and second raids. The law had been calculated to lure civilians from their shelters into the open again. To escape the flames, tens of thousands of civilians had crowded into Gosner Garten, a magnificent park nearly 1.5 miles square. The second raid came at 1:22 a.m. with no warning. Twice as many bombers returned with a massive load of incendiary bombs. The second wave was designed to spread the raging firestorm into the Gosner Garten. It was a complete success. Within a few minutes, a sheet of flame ripped across the grass, uprooting trees and littering the branches of others with everything from bicycle to human limbs. Bicycles, to human limbs. For days afterward, they remained bizarrely strewn about as a grim reminders of Allied sadism. I'll continue and finish this on the other side, ladies and gentlemen. You know, you can have 500,000 people die in Dresden, or maybe over 1 million people in Iraq, and nobody cares. Or they do care, but they're powerless to stop it. And the murder and savagery will continue. We'll be right back.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called Wrist Ease, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. Wrist Ease comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, Wrist Ease is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. Wrist Ease is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. Wrist Ease provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order Wrist Ease now at wristease.com. That's Wrist Ease, WRISTEASE, wristease.com. Once again, that's Wrist Ease, WRISTEASE.com.
At the start of the second assault, and we're talking about Dresden, many were still huddled in tunnels and cellars waiting for the fires of the first attack to die down. At 1:30 a.m., an ominous rumble reached the ears of the commander of the Labor Service convoy sent into the city on a rescue mission. He described it in this way. The detonation shook the cellar walls. The sound of the explosions mingled with a new, stranger sound which seemed to come closer and closer, the sound of a thundering waterfall. It was the sound of a mighty tornado howling in the inner city. Others hiding below the ground died, but they died painlessly. They simply glowed bright orange and blue in the darkness. As the heat intensified, they either disintegrated into cinders or melted into a thick liquid, often 3 or 4 foot deep in some spots. Shortly after 10:30 on the morning of February 14th, the last raid swept over the city. American bombers pounded the rubble that had been Dresden for a steady 38 minutes, but this attack was not as nearly as heavy as the first two. However, what diminished this raid was the cold-blooded ruthlessness which it was carried out. U.S. Mustangs appeared low over the city, strafing anything that moved, including a column of rescue vehicles rushing to the city to evacuate survivors. One assault was aimed at the banks of Elbe River, which refugees had huddled during the horrible night. In the last year of the war, Dresden had become a hospital town. During the previous night's massacre, heroic nurses had dragged thousands of crippled patients to Elbe. The low-flying Mustangs, machine guns, gunned down those helpless patients, as well as thousands of old men, women, and children who had escaped the city. When the last plane left the sky, Dresden was a scorched ruin. Its blackened streets filled with corpses, the city was spared no horror. A flock of vultures escaped from the zoo and flattened on the carnage. Rats swarmed over the piles of corpses. A Swiss citizen described his visit to Dresden 2 weeks after the raid. "I could see torn off limbs and legs, mutilated torsos and heads, which had been wrenched from their body and rolled away. In places, the corpses were still lying so densely that I had to clear a path through them in order not to tread on arms or legs." The death toll was staggering. Allied apologists for the massacre have often twinned Dresden with the English city of Coventry. But the 380 killed in Coventry during the entire war cannot begin to compare with it over the 1,000 times that number who were slaughtered in 14 hours in Dresden. Moreover, Coventry was a munition center, a legitimate military target. Dresden, on the other hand, produced only china, and cups and saucers can hardly be considered military hardware. You know, it's interesting to further compare the retrospective damage to London and Dresden, especially when we recall all the Hollywood schmaltz, the story says, about the London Blitz. In one night, 1,600 acres of land were destroyed in the Dresden massacre. London escaped with damage to only 600 acres during the entire war. In one ironic note, Dresden's only conceivable military target, its railroad yards, was ignored by Allied bombers. They were too busy concentrating on helpless old men, women, and children. Does this sound familiar to you, ladies and gentlemen? Do we have one iota of compassion of those people at Dresden, as we do with Iraqi citizens? Over 500,000 people, children, ladies and gentlemen, children, have been destroyed in Iraq. And while a bunch of thick-headed Americans say, oh yes, we got to go get those evil terrorists, marching under the banner and the drumbeat of this madman that occupies the White House here in America. By the way, Eisenhower in Nagasaki and Hiroshima did not want those bombs dropped. By the way, in Japan, that was the highest concentration of Christians in Japan. Truman wanted it, well, to show the world and the Soviets what we had devised. And those people were no more important than the people in Dresden or the people in Iraq. That'll do it for us today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. Pray hard, folks. We're going to need all the help we can get. We are on the brink of destruction here in this country. We'll see you tomorrow.